You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklynsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklyn's Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Hello and welcome to Just Women, the weekly talk show on Brooklyn's Radio. It's Just Women for the next hour, talking to interesting, intriguing and inspiring women. I'm Jackie Mitchell and my co-presenter today is Penny Carter. Hello, Penny.
Hello, Jackie. And yes, we have three guests whom I'm sure will be of great interest to many listeners. They will be covering a wide range of subjects: coaching, business and breathing.
Sounds great. Later in the programme, we'll be hearing from Sue Towner from Your Listening Ear and Nevska Karamet, a breath worker. But first of all, I'd like to welcome to the studio Lucy Windsor, executive coach and business consultant. Hello there, Lucy.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So how did you become an executive coach?
I started my business. We were a role play company. My husband and myself started the business.
What's a role play company?
Role play is where we go in as actors in a business environment, and we help people to communicate in business through the use of role play. So really getting people to interact with us as if we were a customer or a stakeholder or whatever. And then in about 2005, in order to sort of support that and add more value around those services, I started then to embark on the coaching and took diplomas and things to make sure that I was able to really sustain the business going forward and give more back, really, to my clients.
But before you even became a role-play player, if that's the right word, what did you actually start doing? What was your first job after school?
Oh, gosh. I when I first left school, I was a secretary working in the IT business. And then I moved into selling trainings and then into systems integration. So I was a salesperson, really, and an account manager looking after big banks, actually, and just being the relationship manager. I say just being, it's a big job, actually.
Yes, I'm sure it must be. And at what point do you think, oh, right, I'm going to go and start my own business with your husband?
It was, my husband had already started the business under a different name, and then we kind of amalgamated it, and we sort of joined forces. He comes from an acting background. We joined the sort of business and the acting and made it the performance business. So that was in 2001. I've been kind of doing it ever since.
Oh, right, okay.
But yeah, so then the coaching came out from that in about 2005. And so now I work in big companies, big corporate companies, because that's my history and my background, and I really enjoy doing that. But I also work with really small companies and startup people as well. So they're different challenges, because some of them you've got to work in a framework and an environment that's corporate, and others people are trying to sort of find their own way. And so it's sort of giving them the skills that they need. They're very different.
Yes, and did you have to do additional training to become a coach?
I've done a lot of training, yeah, over the years. I've got a couple of diplomas in coaching, and I've also, not just the business coaching, but life coaching as well. I started off doing business coaching only, and I kind of kept bumping into this thing that, don't go there, don't start talking about, other stuff, personal stuff, because I wasn't qualified to actually. Business and life is all one thing. There isn't that, working is part of your life. And so to try and compartmentalize it, it doesn't work. So I also embarked on life coaching as well, which means that I can support someone sort of holistically, whatever their challenges are. Often it's to do with their, trying to juggle work with kids and all the other stuff. We can have that conversation, and we can do it in a way that's appropriate and they can feel properly supported.
So if you were to go into a business, small or large,
yes,
what's your initial approach? How do you go about starting to help both from the business perspective,
yes,
and the personal perspective with the skills that you've got?
Okay.
Would imagine it could be quite a challenge to know where to begin.
Not really. The business tends to want something quite specific out of a piece of work. they know what they need to achieve, and as a business, they know what they're trying to achieve and what values they have. So I have those sorts of conversations with the business about, you know, what are their values, what's their vision, where are they going, what are the things that are holding the business back, and what do they want to get out of that piece of work, and we do kind of quite discrete pieces of work. So that bit's quite clear, you know, it's a conversation, as most things are. And then when I'm talking with the individual, it's how to sort of knit what they need in with the overall vision, because they'll have things that are holding them back. It's usually sort of personal stuff that holds them back. When I say personal, I mean, you know, their own fears or anxieties or concerns of what they can or can't do or achieve, but knitting that into the overall need of the business. And we're very open about that, and we look at so if they're in a department and they're running an element of their department, we look at, okay, so how is that department feeding into the overall strategy for the firm, and you know, what is it you can do to make sure that you're really feeding into that, and what kind of values or how can the values be expressed is probably a better way of saying it. How can you express your values, the company values, in the way that you do your work and perform your job?
So once you go in and start to get a feel for the business,
yes,
do you then have a plan that you present to the business owner? And is there a sort of lifespan in terms of you and your husband might give yourselves X amount of weeks or months to achieve what that business expectation is, or is it not that simple?
It's different in each situation. It's different. So just in the middle of a piece of work at the moment, for instance, which is all about sales, and so I'm working with seven people, and what we're trying to do is really sort of improve their selling capability, and so that's a very specific piece of work. It's about sales, and that's going over a period of time. They've got several coaching things, and then they go away and they start to practice that, and then they come back and they move on to the next bit and sort of add to it. It's always a bit of an evolution with coaching. I mean, it's about
because that might not be.
What are the challenges that they're facing? Sometimes in different countries they have different challenges as well. They have different regulations and things that they have to fit in around, and it's different in one country as it might be in another, which is what we're going through at the moment. But then it's always a sort of an iterative approach where you go, okay, well let's look at this bit first, and we break it down. And then they go away and they get comfortable with that, and they feel what we need to see with coaching always is success, early wins, and people feel that they're making some progress. So we try and get early wins straight away from the first ever session. And then we can kind of get more in depth and it evolves over a period of time. And that could be, it could be four sessions and it could be longer. And it just depends on what they're trying to achieve and where they're at now. What's the gap?
Okay. And if you could describe a business success that you'd had without naming names, what do you feel has been your best achievement since you started the business coaching and life skills coaching?
There's more than one of these. But the biggest achievement that my clients have had, because actually they're the ones that have to do the work, it's their achievement, but it's when there's a complex situation going on and they're dealing with personal challenges, family challenges and things, and everything else, and it's that overwhelm of everything. And so nothing's working. Work isn't working and home isn't working. And so I tend to have really good success there when people just don't really know where to go. So it's about the clarity. They get the clarity, and we can deal with the home stuff, we can deal with the work stuff, and then what we start to see is they start to make success, and they're getting the financial flow coming back through and everything else. And that to me is the best success I've had. And so we see businesses, or, you know, I personally have in my coaching, where they've gone from zero to, you know, significant amount of money coming through, and then, you know, gone from a small business to a medium-sized business, and it's sustainable, and you know, I mean, that just thrills me, I must say, because somebody goes from, I think when you're working. And the things that hold you back are really sort of anxiety about yourself and how capable you are. And so when somebody sort of starts to shine and come out of that, and we create boundaries, you know, what are appropriate boundaries in this situation and in that situation? And what are you responsible for, and what is somebody else responsible for? And we start to break down all this sort of clarity, and then suddenly everything sort of lifts and people really start to shine, and that's when everything starts to sort of come together. And so,
techniques that you employ then to help these people achieve these great successes that you're talking about?
Well, we look at several things really, but we try and break things down really specifically. Boundaries, for instance, I use metaphor a lot. And for boundaries, I use the metaphor of, you know, the house and your garden. And if you're going to open the door, you know, to your garden, and somebody comes in and tramples all over the roses, you know, is that something that you want to do, or is that something you need to have a conversation about? So I try and use metaphor quite a lot. And I use techniques to get people just sort of thinking slightly differently. It's about reframing and different perspectives.
Would that be NLP?
I'm not an NLP practitioner, no. But some of the things that I do, I believe, is also how they operate in NLP practitioners operate. So it's similar. But very much about reframing and looking at, you know, what's the meaning that you're associating with that, you know, this situation that feels insurmountable, you know, what's sort of story are you kind of wrapping around that? What does it mean to you? And then sort of looking at, you know, is that a true story? Is that a helpful story to you, or is it going to hold you back? And let's look at it in a different way. So there's a lot of sort of, you know, a lot of questioning, and then putting in a different perspective and seeing if that feels more comfortable to people.
And do you tend to do one-to-ones, or is it in a room full of people?
I do both. When I'm working with groups, I used to do a lot of one-to-ones primarily, but when I'm working with groups, what I really like to do is work individually with people in groups, rather than sort of sheep dip them. And so what we'll do, the exercises that we look at is, you know, there'll be a broad exercise. I'm trying to sort of describe it without sort of saying, you know, taking you through a whole thing. But what we might look at, for instance, is physicality is one of the things that I really like to focus on. And so I kind of have a thumbprint of physicality of when you're feeling in the zone, so you can click back into that. And so everyone's different. And so we go through the process to look at what that looks like, and we do a kind of a mental body scan thing where we just sort of go zip, 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 as if we're a scanner, you know, and so that people can get back into that physical comfort zone. But everybody has a different feel and look. You know, what do they look like? What do they feel like when they're feeling great? And so although the exercise is sort of general to a group, they're looking at each individual person and saying, well, what does that mean to me? But that's a good example because when we want to be at our best, the best place to start is our physicality.
Of course.
Rather than what we're thinking or what we're saying. The physicality comes first.
So you say that we're on the cusp of the next huge shift in how we do business. And this time it's not technology, but the greatest resource is our people.
Yes.
So is that where all of your sort of teaching comes from?
Yeah.
And when you say the next huge shift, why now is that the next huge shift away from the technology?
Yeah, I mean, when I was in IT, I came into IT when it was computers. The PCs, rather, the desktop computers, you know, rather than the big mainframes. And so that was, a sort of a sea change, if you like, in computing. Since I've moved into the field of people, it is all about people and it's all about communication, because communication makes business flow much quicker and much, more efficiently. It's all about communication. It's about people showing up as taking ownership of themselves. And that is a change to that, you know, the hierarchical of, the boss is the one that tells everyone what to do. It's not about that anymore. It's about people showing up and saying, this is what I do and this is how I'm going to mechanics to bring and contribute myself, you know, to this. Whatever the organisation.
Okay, I'm awfully sorry for running out of time. It always happens, I'm afraid. Would you like to give us your website details so we can get more information about you?
Yes, it's theperformance.biz.
Thank you very much, Lucy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. That was Lucy Windsor, Executive Coach and Business Consultant. And in the second part of our programme today, we'll be talking to Sue Towner from Your Listening Ear.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Hair Mechanics is Surrey's premier hair and beauty salon group, with two superior salons, one in the heart of West Byfleet and the second in the Bourne Valley Garden Centre of Addlesden. Hair Mechanics offers hairstyle finishing, beauty and holistic therapies, nail treatments, tanning and electrolysis. For our office promotions, contact information and more, please see our website hairmechanics.co.uk or call 01932 350 877. Is our premier hair and beauty salon group.
Elegance, heritage and luxury characterise the Mitre Hotel in Hampton Court. On the Thames, alongside Hampton Court Palace, the Mitre provides a beautiful setting for that special celebration, from a stylish birthday party to an elegant wedding in the private pavilion suite with direct access onto the riverside terrace. The terrace restaurant, with its panoramic views across the river, offers a tasty and delicious menu, including the traditional scrumptious Sunday roast. And be prepared for delicious dishes with organic, homegrown and, wherever possible, locally sourced ingredients. To book your unique experience, call 0208 979 9988. A perfect venue for a perfect celebration. The Mitre Hotel, Hampton Court.
Brooklands Radio's audience is growing. Potential listeners are listening, but are they hearing your message? Maybe you're saying to yourself, I don't know about internet radio, or maybe I should wait. Well, instead, think about it this way. Do you want to be one of the first businesses like yours to advertise on internet radio, or the last? So why not tap into the power of Brooklands Radio easily and affordably? Contact Fiona through sales@brooklandsradio.co.uk. That's sales@brooklandsradio.co.uk. Brooklands Radio. Loving Surrey Radio. Brooklands Radio.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Hello and welcome back to Just Women with myself, Penny Carter, and Jackie Mitchell, my co-presenter. And I'm delighted to introduce Sue Towner of Your Listening Ear. And Sue describes herself as a business agniant. So welcome, Sue.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Our pleasure. So I believe that your earlier years, and you still continue to be an accountant, but you have branched out and started your own business called Your Listening Ear. So Tell me a little bit about how that transition came about.
Well, over the years, I've had a number of different jobs and different businesses, some of which certainly haven't worked that well. I mean, when I left school, I started off analysing sausages for David Greggs, but that was enough to put me off for life. So moving on from that, I applied for a job as an assistant accountant, having never even been in an office, not even worked in one, and got it on sheer cheek, and just drifted into accountancy that way. But again, I've run a junk shop. I think I must have kept half the stock. I also ran a pub. If that made a profit, I probably drank it. But they were things I wanted to try, because I believe in life the two worst words that go together are if only. So if you want to give it a try, go for it. But I enjoyed accountancy, but it's time to do something different. I'm officially retiring from the practice on the 31st of March, which may come as news to any of our clients who might be listening, because I've not formally announced it yet. But I've been doing a bit of mentoring with Young Enterprise, which is a superb organisation. I advise anybody who wants to encourage youth to get involved, and doing a bit of one-to-one with a university student. And having made so many mistakes in business, I thought it might help to try and stop other people doing the same. It's not really coaching. I'm not qualified for coaching. But when you work alone, you can sometimes get into panic mode. You just need a sounding board. And that's what I'd like to be. Sit down, talk for an hour or so. If the person needs formal coaching, then I'd be able to tell them that and point them in someone else's direction. But often when you start to talk about what's worrying you, you actually sort it out for yourself. But it is having someone there to talk to. So I want to give it a try.
So it could potentially appeal to those small businesses like myself who work in isolation for a lot of the week, and sometimes you get a thought in your mind which then spirals, but you don't have that agony aunt, as you describe yourself, to go to. Would that be
That's correct? The thing. It's just give me a call, we can meet up, have a cup of coffee, and hopefully within an hour you've calmed down, you've got your thoughts straight and are ready to move on. I can help you make lists of priorities. That's often the problem. And then you decide for yourself how to go forward. But it's just getting your thoughts straight.
That was one of my questions, actually. What are the common concerns? So it is that thought process and understanding.
One of the last ladies that I was talking to, her main problem was looking after clients but finding premises, having to get new leaflets printed, like things like that, and it was prioritising what had to come first. It's no good printing leaflets if you haven't got an address to put on them. So finding the premises was the priority. So we calmed down, she could look after her clients that she already had in temporary places. But she now knows to go out and try and find a place to work from for herself.
And so how long would your engagement with a particular business be?
It would probably be an initial hour. And if they want to come back and sit down for another hour, or I would always be grateful if they let me know if they've got themselves sorted out. But it's a very ad hoc thing. I'm there when I'm needed, but I'm not pushing for a long-term commitment.
Yeah. And so who are your typical clients?
It would be possibly a lady working from home, trying to juggle the family and also the business, but having nobody at home who really understands what they're trying to do. But it's any small business, anybody, usually a sole trader, I would think, or somebody perhaps within a bigger organisation who started to lose track.
And do you work with startups?
Yes, very much so. I'd like to encourage startups.
Right, and what sort of costs do you charge?
I'm charging £20 an hour, and if we're out, I shall probably buy the coffee. If the
people Sounds a good deal.
Well, the people I'm aiming for, if they're starting out, they certainly don't have large amount of funds. And this is, if you like, a taster to see if they need an ongoing support by somebody with the professional qualifications.
And what sort of businesses have you been dealing with up to now?
Quite a mixture. It's not been a huge number, to be honest, because still working with the accountancy practice. I'm going to be all systems go in April, but it's been a sociologist, somebody in the medical profession, and just odd people, mainly that I've been speaking to at Kingston Chambers, just to have a chat with them. That's where I do most of my networking and thoroughly enjoy the social side of it as well. But doing things like that has actually given me another thing to get into. I do all my presentations in rhyme, and it's become a habit now. It's expected that I have to have a different poem every time.
That sounds amazing.
I've decided to offer it as a service as well. And the first time I announced that, I've got two commissions. So I scribble things down when I'm out and about, and I've done one for today as well, just in case.
Excellent.
We'll have to hear that later, won't
yes,
we, Penny?
Yes, we'll save that. We'll save that for a while. So if somebody's listening into the show now, why would you say they should choose you above and beyond? Because there are a lot of businesses out there who offer the mentoring programs, etc., etc. But what's unique about you, Sue?
I'm just offering a one-off sit down and chat, not a huge commitment. I don't want people to sign up for a course or anything like that. It's just so that they can get their initial worries out into the open. Then they'll be better in a position to decide if they need something a bit more. I'm just there to start putting them on the road.
Okay, and you mentioned the mentoring with the enterprise. Can you tell us a little bit more?
This is something, apparently it's been going on for 50 years, and it's in the lower sixth form. They have to start a company. They have to get together, work as a team, and they find a product, they do the presentations, they, quite for me, raise funds, and it teaches them all about business and is a really good grounding for if they go out into the wide world.
And can local businesses get involved with that as well?
They are encouraged to. The more they can, the better. It's not a vast commitment. It's once a week during term between May and July. So I thoroughly enjoy it. I do feel that the young are our future. If we can't encourage the young, we don't have a future. And it is quite inspiring to see some of these teams, the way they come together, the way they present, and their understanding of business by the time the scheme comes to an end.
Okay, thank you. And in terms of your connection with the Chamber, you mentioned that that's the best route for your networking. Are there any other networking groups that you belong to or would recommend?
I don't actually belong to any more at the moment. I've been along to one or two, and my co-director, Angela, goes to BNI. I've stood in for her there, but I find that perhaps a little bit regimented. And I'm looking at Athena, which is the ladies' group. I've been along to that, and they do go to lunch in one of the best restaurants in Surbiton.
The French Table, isn't it?
Yeah. It is wonderful. Yeah. The trouble is, it does get a little bit noisy in there, and it only goes quiet when dinner is served.
Yes, true enough.
And so you mentioned your early days as, did you say a sausage?
Analysing sausages for David Gregg. So I was forced into sciences at school, so I had to take a job in a laboratory. My headmistress told me I was going to teach science. I told her I wasn't and walked out at the end of the lower sixth. So I just got a job because you had to if you left school. But seeing the factory and doing that day in and day out was just definitely not for me.
Why was that? Was it just mundane? Or
it was mundane. It was also so old-fashioned and really not that pleasant.
Right. So you definitely chose the right course then?
Yes. I think I actually left that job before I was sacked. So it's not doing very well towards the end.
And do you have any advice to offer people out there? And if somebody were listening today and they were thinking about starting their own business, are there any learnings that you can share that might help them on their way?
If they really want to do it, go for it. It's often jumping at the deep end can sometimes work for the best. Start doing a lot of research into rules and regulations and you might not take the plunge. Give it a go, but be ready to say it's not worked, but I have tried, and ask for help along the way. But don't just sit there and say, well, perhaps I will. Go for it.
But what about the funding issues? Because that's the biggest deterrent for people.
That can
to
be
start
a problem.
Up.
That yeah. can be a problem. You will need, if you're going to need funding, if it's not something that you can just sit at a desk and do at home, then you have got to get together a decent business plan. You've got to get your thoughts straight, your aims and objects, and also work out exactly how much money you're going to need, how much you've got yourself, and how much you have to borrow, and then start looking at the different options. funding is becoming a bit more readily available for startups, providing you've got something well put together.
And what are your views about crowdfunding?
I know people have been very successful with it. It's something I really want to find out a bit more about, because I think that's a direction to go in. I'm actually talking to one lady at the moment who wants to start a very specialised restaurant.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
It does. I will talk to you about that later.
Yes, you must.
But she's going to need some serious funding. Oh. So I think we're going to be looking into crowdfunding for her.
So is it something that perhaps people can look into as,
I think,
as an
it's
option?
Well worth researching as an option. It does mean that you are answerable to other people. Quite often these people will want a share of your business. Mm-hmm. So the traditional lenders, if you've got the right business plan and the right collateral, is still go to the main banks.
And what about Dragon's Den? What do you think about that?
Do you think that's a good
idea for somebody to get on that if they could?
It would frighten the life out of me. But I know a lot of the colleges actually put on things like that for their students to give them some sort of practice. So, yes, if you're ambitious, go for it.
Okay. Well, I think, don't we think we should listen to Sue's poem now, Penny?
I'd love to. Yes, please go ahead, Sue.
Well, this was scribbled out there, so I don't know how good it is. But Brooklands Radio is on the air, and I've been invited there to talk about your listening ear. I hope to make my message clear. I'm here to help with business woe, revive that old get up and go. Just sit with me and talk things through. We can decide what to do to get your thoughts back in line so everything turns out fine. So please remember that I'm here, ready to help. I'm your listening ear.
Well, that's fantastic, isn't it? Well done. Well, that's fabulous, isn't it? I see our producer over there, Dave's really enjoying that one. That's really great. So do you have some tips for us then for people going into business or who are in business?
Is to stay focused, but make sure that you still get your life work balance right. Don't forget your family, but make sure they support you. You will need that support at home to be able to cope. But really, give it a good try. If you want to do it, go for it.
And do you think that currently there is a sort of business that is perhaps doing well, better than others? Like, for example, what brings to mind is dog walkers. Apparently dog walkers are doing incredibly well right now, and sort of home bakeries and this sort of thing. Is there a sort of trend in types of businesses?
I think that's right. You've got to be a bit careful with the home bakery, which a lot of people don't realise is the health and hygiene regulations about an extra sink, being able to do cooking from home. A lot of caterers will cater on other people's premises. Dog walking certainly seems to be in vogue, but do make sure you look at the proper insurances for all of this. Insurance is an absolute must.
Right, okay. And of course, getting a good accountant, I would have thought, is that beyond, you know, is the first priority, I would have thought.
Somebody to help, somebody you can talk to, and somebody who's not too expensive.
And should all new businesses be VAT registered?
No, you don't need to VAT register until your turnover reaches a certain threshold. In some instances, it is worth going for a voluntary registration, such as a consultant, who will then go on a flat rate scheme, so they actually mean end up keeping a bit more in pocket. But do talk that sort of thing through with an accountant first. It's easy to VAT register, it's not so easy to deregister.
Right. Really? Is that right?
Yes.
It's more difficult to deregister.
It takes time. You have to be registered for a certain time. You can't turn around after your first quarter and say, I don't like it, I don't want it anymore. And you might end up having to pay back some of what you've claimed.
Gosh, that's very interesting. And so what do you see for your future then? What are your future plans with your listening ear?
I'm looking forward to meeting a lot more people, to actually going out a bit more myself as well, and hopefully to get some feedback that I've actually been able to help.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much. Would you like to give us your website details?
It's my brand new website. It's www.yourlisteningear.co.uk.
Thank you very much, Sue.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sue.
So that was Sue from Your Listening Ear. And in the final part of our Just Women programme, we'll be talking to Nevska Karamet, breath worker.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
If you're looking for an evening of the smooth rhythms of soul and Motown, or perhaps the vibrant moves of Dirty Dancing and Grits, then you'll want to head over to the Holiday Inn Shepperton, your number one venue for tribute acts. And if you're planning your beautiful event suites and attractive lakeside grounds are the perfect backdrop for wedding photographs that capture everlasting memories. And be assured that from your first visit, our dedicated wedding coordinator will be on hand to assist you every step of the way. Call 01932 899 33. The Holiday Inn, Shepperton. The perfect venue, whatever the occasion.
When you're looking to send important documents and packages, don't settle for second best. Choose Mailboxes etc. in Church Street, Weybridge. We offer you high street access to fast, reliable and internet trackable delivery services from world-class couriers, including UPS, FedEx, Parcelforce and DHL. We also offer a range of Royal Mail services and can pack your shipment so that it arrives safely. Around the corner, around the country or around the world, big or small, Mailboxes etc. in Weybridge can collect, pack and ship it all.
If you're passing Walton Community Hospital or near the halfway in Walton, then pop into the hospital coffee shop run by the League of Friends. Enjoy a nice cup of tea for only 60p or a delicious cup of coffee for only 70p. Plus a range of sweets, biscuits, soft drinks, crisps, cards and sundries. We're all volunteers so we can keep the prices low. That's the coffee shop at Walton Community Hospital in Rodney Road, Walton. Open from 10am to 4pm weekdays and from 2pm to 4pm on Saturdays.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Hello there and welcome back to Just Women with me, Jackie Mitchell, and my co-presenter, Penny Carter. And we're now joined by a breath worker, Nevska Karamat. Hello, Nevska. Hi, Nevska. Are you there?
Hello.
Hello, Nevska. Hi, how are you doing?
Hello, thank you. I'm in the middle of a training.
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me all right? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, absolutely no problem. So, how long have you been a breath worker?
I have been a breath worker now for almost 20 years, and I have been working around dress code because I started with breathing techniques and yoga and pranayama. I studied dysfunctional breathing habits, and I learned that dysfunctional breathing habits we learn are keeping us in a low level, low energy state, and that's the reason why we have many health problems. So I got some trainings on dysfunctional breathing habits, and I started my own system.
Right, and so what did you do before? What did you start off doing before you became a breath worker?
I was trained as an architecture. But I was always interested in psychology and psychiatry and also science. So after I studied architecture, I decided I want to have a training on breath coaching and breath work, and then I decided to work on this field.
But how did you recognize that yourself, that you were breathing wrongly, that you needed help within that respect?
So first I started, I actually was introduced to this when I was getting my trainings on Vivekananda University, which was in India, and I started teaching and also practicing pranayama, and I was a yoga teacher back then, and then I started working on breathing therapy with yoga therapy, and I started realizing the effects of my breathing on my own system. Because how we breathe, we can use a technique and it can change our whole psychology, our whole perception. How we breathe affects how we think, how we live the world, how we feel, everything, how we behave. So I started realizing, trying different breathing techniques, I started realizing that breathing affects my whole psychology. And I was like, wow, if I want to feel a certain way, I just need to change my breathing habit. And because there were many people around me who were into positive thinking and, you know, feeling good, feeling great, I got interested in, being more positive and living a more positive life and being more relaxed. So I started using different breathing techniques. Then over the years, I realized that positivity was the worst idea humankind ever had because with the universal law of polarity, if you're always trying to be positive and if you're using techniques to, you know, calm yourself down and relax and this and that, life gives you more challenging problems and you'll find yourself in more challenging situations, because if you're just trying to be positive, you're actually repressing one side of your humanity. So things started happening like everybody else has. Things started happening in my life, lots of problems, relationship problems, work problems, all kinds. The more I tried to be positive, the worse it got. And I think many people are like that. The more you try to relax, the more you are stressed. So I passed that stage with breathing techniques, and I realized this is not working. So I started working on my breathing, and I started getting more trainings on breathing. And with breath work, I got trainings on rebirthing and then to transformational breathing and holotropic breathing. I realized that having a functional breath, having a natural breath, was the most important thing.
So, Nabsar, sorry to interrupt. Yeah. I just wondered, when you were looking for the training that was available for you to learn more, this is quite new to me. I've only come across breath work recently. Yeah. Where did you go to find out about the learnings and the training that was available to you?
Yeah. First, I got my training first on breathing therapy and pranayama at Vivekananda University in India. Then the moment I realized doing pranayama and also trying to calm myself didn't work. It got, you know, like everybody has the same experience. It makes your life worse because you are actually repressing one side of your humanity. Then I got interested in mind work, and I finished Landmark Education System, and I got into coaching and life coaching. Then afterwards, I got my training in the United States in San Diego with transformational breathing, Dr. Judith Kravitz. And then I got my rebirthing training, the rebirthing system, which is Leonard Orr's system. And then I started also working on a few more breathwork practices. And I think in England, in UK, there are lots of rebirthing breathworkers, and also holistic breathworkers are a very popular system over there.
So you now offer training, having looked at your website, you will do that for groups and individuals, is that correct?
Yeah, now what we're doing is we combined many methods, because over the years I realized that to have a functional, natural, perfect breathing habit, we have to work on people, we have to work on your dysfunctional breathing habits with basic behavioral science rules. So in our training right now, especially in the breath coaching certificate program training, where we train breath coaches, we train them on basic behavioral science, because dysfunctional breathing habits are like all dysfunctional behavioral habits. They are learned, they are programmed in your physiology, they are fully unconscious. So no, I never met anyone who was aware of their dysfunctional breathing habits, which were actually triggering like 200 symptoms they have. So they first have to get aware. So we use behavioral science, and our breath coaches are also trained with respiratory science, because our breathing affects our respiratory chemistry each and every moment. So if you're using a breathing technique, or if you're breathing dysfunctionally, just to manipulate your psychology, it's affecting your health in a bad way. And we also train our breath coaches in coaching, basic coaching. Our training is accredited from ICF, International Coaching Federation. So it's CCE accredited training. So it's an accredited training as well. And on basic breath work. So not everybody, but most people know what breath work is, because there are lots of breath work schools and trainings. So we created a whole multidisciplinary system, and right now we're working on education, on our master's degree program and a university degree program on breathing science. So I believe what we do right now is going to change the whole psychology and also science.
So how would somebody, if it's not necessarily within your consciousness that you require breathing therapy, how would somebody come to know that this would benefit them?
First of all, there are more than 200 symptoms that is getting triggered because of dysfunctional breathing habits. So a person can recognize if they have a dysfunctional breathing habit, if they are feelings like upside down. So if they think too much, if they find themselves stressed all the time, chronic pain, chronic anxiety, if they have some attention deficit problems in the brain, than most of the organs, actually. But how to recognize dysfunctional breathing habits is because our respiration regulates our body fluid pH, and because every time we breathe, if we're not breathing dysfunctionally, we mess with the whole respiratory chemistry, and we go either into respiratory alkalosis or acidosis, which is going to cause a whole different, a lot of changes in our psychology. We will either be thinking too much and feeling anxious, fear, stress too much, or if you go into respiratory acidosis, you will be so high that life won't mean anything. So we either go deep into the negativity or deep into positivity, and both sides are actually sicknesses, because when you have a functional breathing habit, you are very much in balance. So every time people lose their balanced state, which is a deep feeling of not calmness, but deep feeling of centeredness, just being aligned with who you are, and feeling really concentrated and really awake. So every time people are there, they're breathing dysfunctional. If you lose your centeredness throughout the day, you probably have, if you are not where you want yourself to be psychologically, first of all, because it gets triggered when breathing habits get triggered, it changes our psychological state. You probably have a dysfunction breathing you don't even know about. So why I got interested in breathing science, let me say, and working on dysfunctional breathing habits, was because many people are searching new ways to keep themselves centered. But being centered is not only something spiritual or mental. I see lots of people are working on their spirituality, on the spiritual path, and their, you know, mentality, everything. They're perfect and they all work. But without changing your physiology, without changing what's happening in your system, in your physiology, in your chemistry, every time you breathe, without changing your dysfunctional breathing habits, you just can't be a person spiritually enlightened or centered or fully aware. Or
right, so if I could jump in here then. So how do you actually help people breathe correctly?
What we do is we have lots of analysis. So we analyze what people are doing with their breathing. So they lie down, they breathe real deep from their mouth, and because they are breathing deep with basic behavioral science, we see the problem first. And then we check what they are doing all the time and what they are not capable of. Like, you might see someone when you say breathe deeply, but they might be breathing too fast, or they might be breathing too slow as a learned dysfunctional breathing habit, which are not both correct. Because if we have a functional breathing habit, if the brainstem reflex is controlling the respiratory system, we find ourselves breathing deep sometimes and breathing shallow sometimes. We breathe fast sometimes, we breathe slow sometimes. If you're only a slow breather, that's a problem. If you're only breathing fast, that's a problem. If you have a learned dysfunctional breathing habit of breathing deep all the time, that's a problem. If you're breathing too shallow, that's a problem. So there's a big misunderstanding about breathing, because people think right breathing, or the way to breathe right, depends on what you're doing on the mechanic level, but it has nothing to do with the mechanic level. So there are lots of people out there, because they are not into the scientific facts or the science of it, they are telling people like slow breathing is good. It is like research on more than hundreds of people who are breathing slow with capnography devices with my team, and you might be breathing slow and you might go into hypocapnia. You might have the worst breathing habit just by breathing slow. You might be breathing fast and you might be getting into hypocapnia as well. So it has nothing to do on the mechanic level. The dysfunctional breathing habits are habits we learn, and they are actually habits that are fighting, that are reflexive, in a reaction mode, fighting with our respiration system.
Right. Okay. Well, that sounds very interesting. Unfortunately, we are running out of time. So, I could ask you for your website details so that people can get more information, and presumably your latest workshop dates will be on that.
Thank you. So, we have my website is with my name. It's www.nevsah.com.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you very much, Nevska.
Thank you very much too.
Okay. Thank you. That was Nevska Karamet. Thank you. Same to you. That was Nevska Karamet, breath worker. I'd like to thank all our guests today on Just Women. Thanks also go to my co-presenter, Penny Carter.
And thank you, Jackie. Just to say, we're always keen to hear about local women with interesting lives. So if you know someone you think should be on our show, email justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk with their contact details and we'll get in touch with them.
Yes, and hopefully get them on a future show. Details of past and future guests are on our website, brooklandsradio.co.uk/justwomen, and you can find us on Facebook too at /justwomen.br. Do follow us on Twitter @brooklandsradio. You can also listen to the programme again on Thursday evening at 8 and then on our website. And don't forget to download the Brooklands Radio app on your phone, and you can listen to us at any time. So thank you for listening.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk. Or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.